Com. Si deseas comunicarte con nosotros, puedes escribirnos al correo electrónico pueblosinfronteras@gmail.com.
En Chile avanza en el Congreso una polémica legislación que pretende imponer sanciones a la protesta social. El gobierno de Sebastián Piñera, impulsor de la ley, ha enfrentado masivas movilizaciones desde su llegada al poder, principalmente por estudiantes que piden el sistema educativo deje de ser un negocio. El reporte con Elías Muñoz.
La Cámara de Diputados de Chile aprobó en general la polémica Ley de Resguardo del Orden Público, también conocida como Antiencapuchados o Ley Ginspeter, por su principal impulsor, el ex ministro del Interior, Rodrigo Ginspeter. La aprobación inicial en la Cámara de Diputados le otorgó 57 votos a favor, 54 en contra y una abstención. Sin embargo, todas las indicaciones del Ejecutivo, encabezado por el derechista Sebastián Piñera, no fueron aprobadas, por lo que el gobierno y sus parlamentarios montaron en cólera. En términos generales, la ley busca inhibir las protestas y manifestaciones públicas. En una de sus indicaciones más resistidas por la oposición se encuentra la utilización de cualquier medio para cubrir el rostro, denominadas comúnmente como capuchas, lo que será considerado un agravante para las penas. El diputado opositor Felipe Arboe dijo que la ley pretende ocultar la mala gestión del gobierno en materia de seguridad pública.
Podemos tener penas mucho más firmes, mucho más duras, pero el problema hoy día es de gestión, porque si no tenemos detenidos y si no se logra aprobar en tribunales, el problema entonces que va a dar lo mismo la pena. Por eso que se ha retrasado este proyecto y esperamos que el gobierno entienda que tiene que mejorar su gestión.
Mientras, la ministra secretaria general de gobierno, Cecilia Pérez, hizo un llamado a los congresistas chilenos a aprobar este cuerpo normativo por el bien del país, dijo.
Nosotros les decimos, no lo necesitamos para el gobierno del presidente. Necesitamos estas leyes para los chilenos y chilenas, para su seguridad en el caso de la ley antiencapuchados, para que exista un nuevo ordenamiento jurídico en materia de orden público, y eso lo reclaman los ciudadanos de nuestro país.
Roberto Morales, presidente de Amnistía Internacional Chile, agregó que aun cuando la mayoría de los artículos particulares que vulneran los derechos de las personas a manifestarse fueron rechazados, todavía hay algunos que podrían generar violaciones a los derechos humanos.
Parece que todavía hay algunos artículos que quedan que tienden a dejar muy amplio algunos conceptos y pueden, por tanto, dar espacio importante para la vulneración de los derechos humanos de las personas involucradas. Particularmente en lo que tiene que ver con el concepto de la capucha o que la gente esté con el rostro cubierto, en que a nuestro juicio todavía deja espacio abierto para la interpretación y la discrecionalidad de los agentes públicos.
El ministro del Interior, Andrés Chadwick, culpó a los partidos de centro-izquierda de reprobar una ley que a juicio del gobierno es un aporte al resguardo del orden público.
Los diputados de la Concertación han votado por favorecer la acción de los encapuchados, de los violentistas, y han votado en contra de poder respetar los derechos de las personas que quieren vivir en paz, en tranquilidad, en orden, en nuestro país.
Al votarse en particular las indicaciones de la iniciativa, la mayoría fueron rechazadas por la oposición, como la que señala que el estar encapuchado sea considerado un agravante a los delitos contra el orden público. También se rechazó aumentar las penas a la toma de carreteras y servicios públicos. Ahora el proyecto será despachado al Senado, que deberá analizar los citados artículos. Desde Radio Santa María de Coyhaique, en la Patagonia chilena, les informó Elías Muñoz.
El presidente de México, Enrique Peña Nieto, ha anunciado los preparativos para la llamada reforma energética, la misma que pretende superar deficiencias de la empresa paraestatal Pemex y envolver al país en negocios mixtos con el sector privado. Peña Nieto asegura que la iniciativa no significa la privatización del petróleo, que de acuerdo con la Constitución mexicana es un patrimonio nacional propiedad de todas y todos los mexicanos. El Ejecutivo alega que en países como Brasil, Colombia e incluso en Cuba se ha modificado el marco legal para permitir la inversión privada en sus empresas petroleras, lo que les ha permitido incrementar su producción. Sosimo Camacho es coordinador de información de la revista Contralínea. Él dice que Peña Nieto pudiera lograr aprobación para su plan privatizador del petróleo.
En efecto, en el Congreso hay muchas posibilidades de que sea aprobada esta reforma de Peña Nieto. Como sabes, existe en este momento un pacto entre los partidos que tienen mayoría en ambas cámaras del Congreso mexicano, se ha conocido como el Pacto por México, y ya han aprobado anteriormente otras reformas también muy polémicas, muy cuestionadas, como la reforma educativa, por ejemplo, que ha generado una serie de movilizaciones en el país porque mucha gente se manifiesta en contra, pero esa discusión, esas dudas, esa pluralidad que sí se refleja en las calles y que se refleja en la sociedad, no llega al Congreso. En el Congreso, prácticamente, el Congreso mexicano, se están aprobando las cosas en el marco de este Pacto por México, y es grave, Fernando, porque no hay una real discusión, ni siquiera parlamentaria, de lo que está ocurriendo. En este momento Peña Nieto no la necesita, porque todos, digamos que la clase política mexicana, se está poniendo de acuerdo fuera de las instituciones, fuera del Congreso mexicano. Se ponen de acuerdo los líderes de los partidos junto con el presidente de la República y el gobierno, y ya después nada más hacen pasar las iniciativas previamente acordadas, previamente cocinadas, como se les dice coloquialmente, y los diputados en las cámaras se encargan de levantar la mano o si acaso hacerle algunas reformas cosméticas, pero que, bueno, no implican demasiado problema para el gobierno en turno.
Camacho señala que el pueblo de México recuerda muy bien que fue el general Lázaro Cárdenas quien en 1938 nacionalizó el petróleo, que entonces estaba en manos de Gran Bretaña, Estados Unidos y otras naciones europeas. Cárdenas logró hacerlo porque en el país todavía se respiraba el aire revolucionario de 1910 y los mexicanos habían sacrificado como 2 millones de vidas para acabar con los abusos e injusticias.
Esta historia, digamos, todavía está dentro del imaginario colectivo, pero además no solo por eso, el mexicano sí sabe, más allá de la corrupción que ahoga Pemex, más allá de que en efecto tanto el sindicato charro que tiene actualmente como quienes la administran, bueno, han saqueado los recursos, la gente sí sabe, esta empresa es la principal fuente de ingresos del gobierno, del Estado mexicano. Realmente el presupuesto de egresos que con el que cuenta México cada año sería mucho menor si no tuviera precisamente la renta petrolera. Entonces, si hay una fuerte oposición a nivel de la sociedad que no alcanza a reflejarse ni en los medios de comunicación corporativos, pues, masivos, y tampoco se alcanza a reflejar en el Congreso.
Juan de Dios Hernández Monge es integrante del colectivo de abogados zapatistas y catedrático de la Universidad Nacional Autónoma de México, la UNAM.
Es evidente que si el PAN, el Partido de Acción Nacional, de antemano anunció el pleno apoyo a Peña Nieto para que presentara la iniciativa, y entre ambos partidos dominantes tienen la mayoría absoluta en el Congreso de la Unión, es muy factible que tengan las condiciones materiales para poderlo desarrollar. Y yo no creo que el problema o la importancia derive de este hecho, yo creo que más bien es el fondo de lo que están buscando realizar. Van a confrontarse con la nación mexicana, que no estamos de acuerdo con la privatización del sector energético. Dicen los corifeos, los jilgueros del Estado y el propio sedicente presidente de México, no vamos a privatizar ni un tornillo de Pemex. Y esto implica una falacia y un acto demagógico brutal en contra del pueblo mexicano, porque el hecho de que estén ofreciendo pagar los costos de exploración y de producción previamente al reparto de la renta petrolera, me parece que implica un trato totalmente inicuo en contra de la nación mexicana. Es totalmente injusto pretender que el capital extranjero tenga el 70% de las utilidades y dejar el 30% y la basura al país de México. Me parece que eso es lo verdaderamente grave. Yo considero que inclusive esta sola presentación de la iniciativa, tanto del presidente de la República como del Partido Acción Nacional, implican ya el delito de traición a la patria. Están traicionando la confianza que el pueblo de México les otorgó y están entregando la riqueza nacional a capital extranjero. Esto podría ser inclusive una causa para pedir la remoción del cargo del Poder Ejecutivo Federal y su consignación ante un juez de distrito en materia penal, porque es un delito grave el que están pretendiendo cometer en contra del pueblo de México, en contubernio, y esto es la otra parte fundamental, con el Congreso de la Unión. Yo creo que el Congreso de la Unión, Cámara de Diputados y Cámara de Senadores, han actuado de manera concertada para realizar todo el proyecto neoliberal primero del PAN y ahora del disque nuevo PRI en la presidencia de la República, y que es bajo la égida del neoliberalismo que pretende terminar de entregar lo que queda de la riqueza nacional al capital extranjero.
Era Juan de Dios Hernández Monje, integrante del colectivo de abogados zapatistas y catedrático de la Universidad Nacional Autónoma de México, la UNAM, en Los Ángeles. Yo soy Fernando Velázquez.
Las abuelas de Plaza de Mayo localizaron al nieto número 109 de los más de 500 bebés apropiados por los militares durante la dictadura argentina. La presidenta de las abuelas, Estela de Carlotto, contó que el nieto identificado es Pablo Germán Atanasio Lachán, secuestrado cuando tenía solo meses de nacido junto a sus padres el 15 de abril de 1976.
Tenía 5 meses y medio de vida cuando desaparecen los 13.
Los padres de Pablo eran una pareja de chilenos exiliados en Argentina que huían de la dictadura de Augusto Pinochet. Su detención y desaparición ocurrió en el marco del Plan Cóndor, el operativo de persecución y asesinato de disidentes políticos acordado por los dictadores de América del Sur.
Este chico fue robado y sus papás no aparecieron más. Estaban dentro de lo que fue el famoso Plan Cóndor. Los dos papás eran chilenos y huyendo del régimen de Pinochet vinieron a la Argentina. Y acá vivieron en Buenos Aires hasta que desaparecieron ya previo a la dictadura nuestra.
Estela de Carlotto dijo que el militar que se apropió del nieto número 101 enfrenta un juicio por crímenes contra la humanidad cometidos durante la dictadura argentina.
Bueno, él está preso, acusado de crímenes de lesa humanidad en Rosario, hay una causa abierta. Y este hombre evidentemente ha hecho tareas de los grupos que salían a secuestrar personas y asesinarlas, o en fin, estaba dentro del aparato represivo.
Hemos llegado al final de otra edición del Informativo Pacífica. A nombre del director del proyecto, Fernando Velázquez, se despide Norma Martínez.
Y entonces en inglés, welcome to the English version of the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz. We are at freakradio.org. You're listening to us there. You'll be hearing us live if you're listening on August 8th, 2013. Otherwise, you're listening to an archive or perhaps to a fantasy you're having in your own mind. It's hard to tell. But in any case, do call in if you are listening live on the 8th of August. That's a Thursday. And I will answer, because we have some interesting guests in the studio. Some pretty heavy shit seems to be hitting Santa Cruz, as usual. And you can be a part of the shit stream, if you'd like. It's loads of fun. And aside from that, it will no doubt distract you from your lack of money if you have that problem. Maybe it won't. I don't know. It might even remind you of it. I don't know. In any case, I'm going to introduce my guests, and then I'm going to, of course, put them off in the corner, as I usually do, because I have a whole bunch of things I sort of roll through on my show. But let me show at least a little formal respect and introduce my guests. First, I have Warren West. Warren, belly up to the mic and say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hey there, Warren. And we also have the father and son troupe, Dan Madison, and the infamous Griffin. Last name is? Say that into the mic.
Hanson-Madison.
There you go. Wow, that's a mouthful.
And I be the father, Dan.
Right, with his laptop in tow as well, I might add. So today we're going to be talking about a lot of things. Warren, you've been in doing some active organizing with Sin Baras, the group fighting for prison reform and abolition. Dan, you also have a radio name, which is Sean, which I sometimes get confused on. And I'll probably get confused during the show. You can always slap me around or kick me under the partition. You're here as an activist who's just recently arrived in Santa Cruz, returned to Santa Cruz, because this is where you're from.
Victim of Santa Cruz? Resident of Santa Cruz?
A proud resident of Santa Cruz. Homeless resident. You're not homeless yourself, Warren, anymore, right? You used to be.
I'm homeless 20 years.
You are still homeless?
Yeah, living in my
boy, room. I should have screened you out for it. Well, I mean, that's how it goes, I guess. And you, of course, are hanging out with your dad here just to see that he doesn't get into trouble. Is that the plan?
Yep.
And the two of you, a father and son, have paid for a workspace at Cruzio Works, and we actually went over there yesterday to find out why they suddenly refused to allow you into the workspace, even though you give them around $300 for total for different kinds of services there. And they didn't have really a very adequate answer, except that the sight of you and your homeless clothing and the big H on your back tended to, should we say, unnerve some woman there. And it wasn't even someone who worked at Cruzio Works or Cruzio.com. Somebody else, apparently. And we couldn't find out who that was, couldn't find out what the policy was violated. We're going to talk more about that. And there's a protest coming up on that issue tomorrow, although I think it'll be more of a fact-finding mission, because for there to be a real protest, we need to invite the homeless community to come, give them a little time to hear about it, maybe supply a little food to encourage people that there might be a little something to eat there as well. And that'll be perhaps for a later time if we decide to do that. At least that would be my suggestion. We'll see what people want to do. But HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, yesterday did, yesterday, voted to show up tomorrow, Friday, the 9th, on Nagasaki Day to ask some serious questions and inform the public about what's going on, and to inform people patronizing Cruzio Works of what apparently their policy is towards at least one pair of homeless people who showed up and paid their money and then got ousted, in essence, from what they had been promised, and their contract essentially terminated, which also may well be illegal and a violation of California law. Anyways, we'll be going into all of that, and who knows, your input too. If you have any reports from the street, that's what the show is about. We go for 2 hours. You can call in at 831-427-3772, 831-427-FRSC. Again, the famous call letters for Free Radio Santa Cruz, even though we're not really radio, as Dan has had the effrontery to point out that we aren't really broadcasting, but we will someday. Well, that's a good question. Will we or won't we? And here's the usual pitch. We need a transmitter site. We have a transmitter. We have the people to talk on the radio. We have the money to pay the rent for the studio, but we do not have a site right now because the previous site person was foreclosed on, is kind of what it boils down to. And so we need you to find, you, the listeners, or someone to help find us a site where we can put up the, small but mighty Free Radio Santa Cruz transmitter, which is, you know, what will put us out onto the air. And that can be anywhere in the Santa Cruz area except in the sort of the depressed trophy area in the immediate downtown. It has to be sort of, I think, on the edges of the downtown. It could be on the west side, on the east side, maybe even the beach side. And if there's a tall tree, I suppose it could be downtown if the tree were tall enough. We thought about, the mayor's lawn, but the mayor is not too sympathetic to that kind of thing, I suppose. Besides, we're illegal, so, hey, it all should be strictly according to law, and that's why the Public Hysteria Task Force, also known as the Public Safety Task Force, which met yesterday, last night, let me get a report from that from you, Dan, as well, because I think you attended that. I think it was the 6th or 7th meeting that they had. We'll hear about that particular Mayor Bryant-appointed group and what came off with them. Also on the show. To begin with, though, a little music to soothe everyone down, to give me a chance to catch my breath and grab a few bites of a chicken salad sandwich, and then we'll go roll directly into the show. Thanks you all for coming, and we'll see if we can make something of this. Again, 427-3772 is the call-in, 427-3772. If that, for some reason, happens to be occupied, which rarely happens, 469-3119, 469-3119 is the alternate number to call. And we are also going to be archiving the show in case you miss a few minutes, have to step away to go to the bathroom or something, just need to know what we were saying. You can go to the HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website, that's HUFF, at HUFF Santa Cruz, that's one word, HUFF Santa Cruz, all small letters, .org, and go to the show, which is named, in case you didn't know before, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. It's not Bathrobe Spears Broadsides or Bathrobesy Pobesy's Sides. It's like Robespierre the Frenchman with a bathrobe kind of connected to it. Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. broadsides, of course, is both a firing at a ship head-on, and it also is an indication of a piece of propaganda or literature with a political purpose. That's what a broadside is often referred to in archaic English times or American times. So a little bit of history for you there. Let's listen to some music, and I'll be back. And you'll hear some other voices than mine, but only briefly, because mine, of course, is the most important voice here.
Rebellious G-string.
That was, I was Ocho the Owl, of all people, or he's a musician I ran into in front of Forever 21, Ocho the Owl, and he was singing Spanish when I ran into him, and he sounded better on the street, frankly, than in this particular recording, but we'll be hearing probably a little more of Ocho, or maybe a little less, who knows, but that was Ocho. So,
I'm going to give a very brief report before we begin, keeping everyone waiting as usual in the studio, about the Palo Alto vehicular habitation ban, as it's called. This is a law new to Palo Alto, although I'm not sure if it wasn't passed like a couple decades ago and then rescinded either by the courts or I can't imagine it being rescinded by the city council, but maybe it was. Palo Alto is one of the wealthiest communities. I was reading today that Santa Cruz is the second wealthiest or second most expensive community to live in the country. But I don't know if that story is true. That was, I think, was either on Santa Cruz Patch or some such online news service. New York being the most expensive. I always thought San Francisco was up there with Santa Cruz. But anyway, it's expensive, and so is Palo Alto. Fancy place. And also poor. East Palo Alto is very poor. A lot of African Americans and Latinos there. And so it's the usual mixed bag of the very rich and the poor, and I guess some middle-class people and government bureaucrats. Palo Alto passed a law on Monday night making it illegal for people to habitate their vehicles, which means you can't, and the indications of habitation are sleeping, eating, and resting, as well as other things, but those are the three crimes mentioned in the law. So Santa Cruz, as you know, also has a habitation ban, but it's not quite the same. You can habitate your vehicle, but not after 11 o'clock at night if you fall asleep. It's still legal to sit in your vehicle and eat in Santa Cruz at any time. It's illegal to rest in your vehicle. It's legal to sleep in your vehicle any time except between 11 and 8:30 at night. In Palo Alto, however, starting probably in a month and a week, because it depends when they pass the second reading, it'll be illegal to habitate at all. And there's all kinds of sugar-coated shit that was presented along with this. Say, oh, well, we won't do it for 6 months, and we're going to hook everybody up with social services, and it's only being done because there's a real problem with all 27 vehicles. Palo Alto is becoming a magnet, the usual stuff you'll hear. And we have a thought here from Griffin.
Yeah, if you can't inhabit your vehicle, eat in your vehicle, drink in your vehicle, well, then shouldn't they just outlaw cars and vehicles in general and make it simpler?
That's a brilliant suggestion. Actually, Becky Johnson, who also was with me at this particular shindig at the city council where we went on for a number of hours. The city council generously allowed each of us 1 minute of public testimony, and there were 70 people who spoke, so there was quite a line of mostly critical speakers, though there were 20 to 30 people who were from a particular community where vehicles have been parking, and they've been saying, well, they're scaring the children, and they're in this community center area, and there's some bags of garbage hanging out. We found some poo-poo on the ground, and in other words, they had some concerns that are typical in a group of folks where there is, you know, a living situation. And I'm not saying those aren't real problems. I think they can be. But there was no there certainly was no smoking gun. I wouldn't even say there was a holstered pistol anywhere around there. It was all just we're really uncomfortable having these homeless people around. And this kind of ties in with what you've been experiencing, Sean, and probably what you've been experiencing too, Warren. I don't know about you, Griffin. You look a little too happy and carefree to be experiencing anything like that, but you got a big smile on your face.
Ignorance is bliss, I take that to heart.
There you go. Anyway, so I'm waiting for there was an attorney who stood up and said, "Anybody, if this law passes, I'm going to take every case. We're going to fill the courts and pack the courts and make sure that the city doesn't get away with this essentially criminalization of poor people." And ironically, it's criminalization of people who actually are providing their own shelter, because if you have a vehicle, you have shelter. And I don't think any of you guys, for example, have vehicles.
I do have a nice van.
Oh, you do have a van. Okay, so you're a criminal as far. You go to Palo Alto. Your history.
It's a high top van.
Oh well, maybe you can pretend you're not homeless. Pretend you're out on a vacation from another city. You're just passing through.
I'm a big tourist on my Social Security.
He's only
retirement
a criminal
check.
A third of the day.
There you go. Good point. Bringing it back to Santa Cruz. You'll hear me munching every so often because I've decided to show absolute contempt for the audience and for my guests by eating while broadcasting, which is probably illegal as well, but I'm not even going to look into that. This should not inhibit you callers from calling in with, I don't know, Cuisinary suggestions, rude comments, whatever you'd like, substantive comments about what you're hearing. Anyway, there's more in Palo Alto. I'm going to be playing stuff from the Palo Alto City Council, from interviews I had. There's also, if you go online, you can see pictures of there was a significant protest in front of Palo Alto, a lot of enthusiasm for defeating this law. And it was a done deal. They had it ready before they came to the council. It's my appearance. Two people voted against it, although they didn't speak against it, and the obvious was not said. The obvious being things like, you're having a problem in one area of town for vehicles. Why don't you address that particular area if you want, even if you need to ban it in that area? But why would you ban it all over Palo Alto? That would be one thing. A second, I mean, I made a whole list of concerns I had, which I'll bring up on Sunday. And I think hopefully Becky Johnson will either call in or come in or write in or something and discuss what she thinks. And we'll have some people from Palo Alto, I'm hoping, who will have written further. And this issue isn't over because there's still a second reading. Not that there's going to be any change in the city council's to say they have a mind is not really accurate. The city manager has an agenda, and they pass that agenda. But the people who are opposing it need to organize, and that, I think, is really the issue, as it is in Santa Cruz. So let's move next to, I don't know, who wants to be first up? Warren, Sean, Dan, whatever. Warren's raising his hand because he has to leave sooner. So, Warren, last time we had you in the studio was, I don't know, some years ago, yeah? Closer to the mic.
I was here, I don't know, 7, 10 years ago when you were on the other side of town. And then I called in a couple times about the sanitation of downtown bathrooms that is abhorrent to me because they locked the bathrooms and people take a dump on the sidewalk, and they hire retarded children to pick it up for $9 an hour, and then cheat them out of the $9 an hour and only pay them $4 an hour. And that, to me, is apparent because I worked with retarded children for 12 years.
Think about the Hope Team. I think it's called the Hope Team or something.
Yeah.
Them around. Are they still doing that? I'm not sure if they're down.
I don't know. Eddie was the turd picker-upper, and he was a drooler and not much IQ, and I guess, you know, it's a chance for them to get out of the institution.
But yeah, for sure, for sure. And I'm all for that. But again, you know, I mean, recently I've talked about the poo-poo, passing the buck on the poo-poo problem, which is their latest plan, according to Micah Posner, the city council member, is that they're going to set up an outhouse or a porta-potty on the levee, actually near the levee, in one of the city parking lots that's adjacent to the levee, and it will be surrounded by a fence. It will cost either $15,000 or $18,000. And they'll try it for 6 months, and if it's vandalized, well, then that's, you know, that won't be any good. You know, because you can't trust those homeless people. You know, they're naturally vandalistic, and you know, then they'll be shooting up and fucking each other for money. And these, you know, that's the suggestion of some of the online people who've written to the Sentinel on this article. What Huff moved the other day was, screw this porta potty. Put the money into opening up the bathroom that's already in San Lorenzo Park, maybe the ones in the parking garages. And, you know, if you need to, put an attendant in there with a towel, possibly. Maybe a shoeshine guy. I mean, something, if you were concerned about people going poo. Your thoughts, Dan?
In Europe, on most public bathrooms, they actually have people in there who will take a quarter, and they will help you, and they will provide you with towels and soap and a little perfume and things like that, and it provides them with some work. I don't see any problem with us doing that here.
Shoeshine person. In bathrooms, I've seen those.
Are they of a particular racial color?
No, they're just like us.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't yet, you know, forwarded my proposal to Micah Posner. I suppose I should. I haven't been speaking with him as much as I used to. We're friends from an older time, but he's, as far as I'm concerned, sold out to people who are on the bottom, and he's so closely packing with those in power that as often, in fact, almost invariably happens with people who run for political office, they get swallowed up by the office they run for. And that means they forget the principles that at least they told some of us they were articulating and standing for. So, Warren, you raised that issue. You also talked a lot about your own legal problems and how you had struggled, I guess, with a trespass or an assault complaint because you dared to use the sacred bench up by, I guess it's on...
Circle Church.
Was near the...
Told to leave Circle Church, and then I was prosecuted for sitting on a bench at the church named forget me out in Soquel, and also two assaults and a trespass at Safeway. So it was ongoing prosecution for over 5 years, 60-some months, and it was 22 months in Judge Kelly's court on a battery that after it was dismissed after 22 months and I think 24 court appearances. However, so they transferred him to Riverside, and Judge Burdick told me no, I wasn't due any compensation, but it was a tag team effort on their part. And then the prosecution continues. They spent millions of dollars prosecuting me wrongfully. I was found guilty of trespassing at Safeway, but my attorney didn't speak out of any of the facts, and
this was a public pretender, or
a public pretender, and I got Sophia Fatt disbarred, or she was sent down the road because she lied to Judge Kelly, and I had a witness that she lied to Judge Kelly.
Who is Sophia Fatt?
She was Judge Kelly's prime public pretender, public defender.
So you were convicted of trespassing. Why? Because you were you snuck into Safeway and were roasting weenies in one of the aisles. What was it?
The manager lady there called me Billy, and she says, "You're not allowed in here, Billy." And I think, well, she's obviously got the wrong person. But she told the police that I'd been caught shoplifting, which if they had bothered to check, they'd know I never shoplifted at Safeway. That manager's no longer there. But she was nuts anyway, obviously.
Or mistaken, certainly.
And mistaken. And I did my 200 hours community service for that. And
did you get convicted by a jury? Or?
Yeah, but the public defender didn't say anything in my favor. I can't remember her name right now. But I think she's still there, and she's still wacky. And... it was all a slam bam. And the last assault, I was injured, and the man that was uninjured, and I was found not guilty 7-5 in my favor after 3 votes. And so that was an 18-month jury trial that ended in my favor.
That was the bench up at Seabright and Soquel?
That was the bench across from the movie house.
Across from the former movie house, the Rio Theater, that's now sort of a former movie house. And it's near, it's near Noah's Bagels up there at the...
Across the street from right across the parking lot from Noah's Bagels. And they got signs up now that they put up after my arrest saying no trespassing, which is really hard because they got a bench there and you have to look 20 feet up there to see the sign. And anybody walking by would think, oh, it's a bench, you know. And I had really regularly spent money at Noah's and the other shops there, but to no avail. So I just don't go to that part of the neighborhood anymore. The signs are still there. Mr. Jones, the guy at the blind place that was prosecuting me, he rammed me. First time I ever contacted him, he rammed me in the ankle with his wheelchair, and I had picture-proof injury, then grabbed my collar and dragged me to the ground while his wife tried to kick me and tag-team me and with another lady. And I suffered kick marks and scrape marks. And then eventually he let go, and I let go, and I wasn't about to hurt a man in a wheelchair, but I was, you know, injured. And the police thought, well, so the charge was a battery without injury, which to my mind, they told me was illegal touching. And
you were fondling the man's wheelchair? Is that the plan?
No, they say he said I touched him illegally because he had no injuries. He couldn't say I injured him.
Hang on. So, and that, this is what we're talking. This is sort of ancient history stuff, but
about a year ago.
Yeah. Well, fairly, you know, not ancient, but it's a little, you know, it's the current situation is you've been actually more active in fighting for better conditions in the jails or, you know, an elimination of the jails. I saw you at a Sin Baras organizing meeting. That's the group that has been doing some protesting downtown around the Trayvon Martin killing, around the racial profiling in Santa Cruz and elsewhere, around the deaths in the jails here. Where
five deaths in Santa Cruz jails in 5 months is just unacceptable to me. And I know the torturous systems in their jail, having been put in there several times for no reason. And it's like the 18th century torturous jail. They give you blankets that don't, with holes in them that don't carry any heat. They put you in cells with no air where people are suffocated to death. I've seen people turn blue to a point that, you know, they were vegetables. And they put me in a cell to soften me up to get me to plead guilty to crimes that I didn't commit. And
did it work?
Well, yeah, I pled guilty to crimes I didn't commit. I think a trespassing once.
You wanted to get out of jail.
I wanted to get out of jail. I figured, well, they're going to put me back in that cell. I'll suffocate to death. And I ended up, I had to sleep till Monday to see the judge. I had to lay on my stomach. I'm 62 years old. I have arthritis on concrete to suck air from under the door just so I wouldn't expire. To me, that's torture.
You made some other concerns known. I know at the Sin Baras meeting that where we some of us were organizing how to go out and let people know at the farmers market and elsewhere, pass on flyers and so forth about the march to the jail. Anything you recall from there?
Well, I just know that the Corcan and where they isolate people for years and years is just inhumane. And prisons and jails in general are becoming more and more inhumane.
Let's interrupt this to catch a caller here. Hey there, caller. You're on Free Radio with four of us. Welcome to Free Radio, or I should say the stream of Free
Hello.
Radio.
Robert, can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, go ahead.
This is John Tilking.
I bet it is. How you doing there, Dangerous John? What's new?
All right. Well, I just wanted to point out one little factoid that I picked up along my way of being disabled. Is that apparently it's completely legal under the Americans with Disabilities Act to pay disabled people less than the minimum wage, regular work.
That's interesting. You've researched that, have you?
Well, I saw it online somewhere.
Huh.
There's a court case about it. They lost.
Interesting. Well, I don't know. I've never researched that before, but that doesn't sound too good. Any other reports from your neck of the woods?
I went to the Trayvon Martin protest on Tuesday at San Jose City Hall.
How'd that go?
There was about 100 to 200 people there. They had it at 4 o'clock, which is kind of unusual to have it on Tuesday at 4 o'clock, but whatever. They managed to get a few people there by 6 o'clock when they finally marched down the street.
What were they demanding? Anything local about San Jose and discriminatory issues there?
Well, in the previous march on Sunday, I think it was the 21st of July, they had one guy get up there and tell his account of how he was treated by the San Jose police. If I remember right, what he was saying was something like he was afraid of being followed, sort of like Trayvon Martin was being followed. He called the police, and he said, oh, there's no problem. But then, a little while later, they were having the cops were after some dark-skinned individual that was suspected of a robbery or something. So they stopped him.
He was also dark-skinned.
You know, it was total discrimination, obviously.
What about this rally by day before yesterday?
Well, they marched around in circles around the federal building and over to St. James, over to Cesar Chavez Park.
What were they seeking? It was simply to raise national awareness, the kind of the general issue.
Well, it was to raise awareness about Trayvon Martin and to demand. I forget the woman's name. There was some woman who started a warning shot into the ceiling at her house to scare off her domestic violent partner, and she got 20 years simply for firing a warning shot. Of course, she's black. So this goes to show you how the standard ground law doesn't apply in domestic violence situations. Currently, there's a loophole in the law. This doesn't apply to domestic violence.
Standard ground, of course, is the law under which Zimmerman, the killer of Trayvon Martin, was found not guilty, right, in Florida.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. This was this case with this woman who fired into the ceiling and got 20 years, was here in, where wasn't, California doesn't have a stand your ground law, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not aware of what, one way or the other about that.
Wow. Well, next protest, ask somebody. I'll try and do the same. You know,
yeah.
Warren, if there's, California has a stand your ground law?
I think they do, but I'm not 100% positive.
It's
guaranteed in the Constitution, I believe, to stand your ground.
Well, I know that some states have specific laws, and a lot of people are urging those laws be eliminated because they allow for unusually aggressive activity towards people that are poor, black, and or dark skinned, and or maybe even homeless looking. You never can tell.
Yeah, really, they might go after a homeless person next. You never know.
They already are, and Santa Cruz in their own way, which we're going to hear about shortly from Dan and Griffin. Anything else you got?
Yeah, I think we got it covered for now.
You got what?
I think we got it covered for now.
Okay, sounds good. Any thoughts or comments or questions from my guests? I don't see any, so thank you, John. I appreciate that.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Hey, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's one thing about these protests. And before you say something, Warren, it's amazing to me that, you know, you and I went to the protests, and John, who did too, he went to two protests. You've been to at least two for Trayvon Martin. We don't even know about the California law around this issue. I mean, it's, you know, it shows you how, you know, I don't know. I get upset that there isn't a local angle that really focuses on what's happening here in Santa Cruz, or at least here in California. And it's so easy to kind of fall in line behind, you know, some national issue. I criticize the ACLU for doing this, or the other organizations that will, you know, or liberal leaders will talk about, you know, human rights violations in, you know, foreign countries like China, but they don't, you know, have absolutely nothing. They will endorse or ignore human rights violations in Santa Cruz, particularly with the Santa Cruz City Council. You were going to say something, Warren. Go ahead.
I've been attempted to be robbed twice, once in San Diego, once in Sacramento, and one time I had a toy gun, one time I had taken a gun on pawn without bullets, and both times the robber backed off when he saw I had a gun. So, you know, my experience has been, you know, it could have been ugly. Of course, I didn't have bullets, I couldn't have shot him, but he let go of my wallet. I was at an ATM, and he came up behind me and grabbed my wallet. Well, he didn't know I didn't have money in it, but I did have my ID in it, and I didn't want to let go. And I didn't want to, it ended up as a scuffle on the ground, and he didn't back off until I put the gun in his mouth. So,
and you couldn't tell it was a water pistol or anything of that sort?
I'm sure he felt the metal.
I see. Yeah, there you go. Carry a gun and have some fun, perhaps, might be the motto. I'm not a gunman myself, but I can appreciate that this is your experience and what you've had. Got a gun on you there, Dan? You want to...
No, I believe in mental violence.
You mean mental self-defense?
Yes, mental self-defense.
Force, please,
mental
not
force.
Violence.
Violence, no.
Violence leads only to violence.
Unfortunately, I've been experiencing mental violence lately.
You've been feeling kind of pissed about what's been happening to you.
Yeah.
Let's turn to that, and we'll come back to you. Well, actually, Warren, since you're going to leave fairly soon...
I'm good for another hour.
Okay, well then let's return. Let's go to what's happened to you, Sean. Do you want me to play? I've got the tape that it has you giving an account. It has a number of things. It has us going to the Cruzio headquarters. It has the dialogue to some extent that you and I and the folks there had with the Cruzio people. Or maybe you can introduce it. Talk about that.
Well. To tell it in as short a form as possible, I bought service from a place called Cruzio Works, which allows you to go into their building in a general area and use their high-end bandwidth and their desks and their little kitchenette and their bathrooms and work on your startup. You want to start a business on the internet, you want to start working on projects, that's the kind of place you go to. You can get several different kinds of membership. I got, for my son and I, a 24/7 membership.
This was on Monday, right?
Yeah, Tuesday, actually.
Sorry, Tuesday.
Tuesday. And the reason I got it was so I could start working on three-dimensional design, which is something I've done in the past and made some money at. Not a lot, but I figured if I just kind of worked on it, focused on it, and just kind of kept doing it, I'd probably start getting some leeway and maybe making some money. And who knows, go further from there. My son needed it for studying math so he can be prepared to go to college.
Yep.
And so, you know, we didn't think much of it. We were just, you know, preparing ourselves, and we're really excited about it. We're gonna show the world we're not defined by our situation. We're defined by our goals and our work and our
because you two are homeless, right?
Yes, we're homeless. And
without even a vehicle.
Without even a vehicle.
But you do have two questionable bikes, suspicious
well, they're not
looking.
Questionable. They are bikes.
They are bikes. Yeah, but they indicate you may be carrying strange objects in your saddlebags of some kind.
Yeah, like clothes and
well,
towels.
You know, most people don't carry their clothes with them that way. That's kind of an unusual approach.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and there, I even have a trailer that I put my guitar on that makes it.
So you're carrying around all this stuff in Santa Cruz. What are the tourists going to think? It's some kind of trashy, lower class town.
Well, actually, there are a lot of people who do this. It's called bike touring. And most people, actually, who are intelligent see it, and they actually think we're bike tourists.
Really?
Yes.
Well, we know you're needle-using, junky, homeless types, right?
I tried that a long time ago. Actually, I never did try it. I'm lying. So I can't tell you what it was like. I can only guess. And I'd probably be biased. However, I had my son, and I took the bikes out in the back. There's an area for the customers.
This is the Cruzio building that's Cruzio. Formerly the Sentinel building across from the main library in downtown Santa Cruz.
Yes, I was actually around when that was built.
Oh, really? That's a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
So you're a sort of a native Santa Cruzan?
I was raised in Santa Cruz.
Uh-huh. But not born here.
Not born here.
I see. So you're really an interloper and not a towner.
Well, I believe that. It's where you grow up, but that's where your heart is, because that's the area you remember. You remember all your first things in life that made your life interesting.
Mm-hmm.
My first love affair, my first job, my first apartment I ever rented.
Your first arrest.
Actually, I've never been arrested.
Well,
Santa Cruz.
Keep watching.
I know. Oh, yeah.
Right.
So my son and I take the bikes out in the back. You know, while I go in and check out the waters of this place, you know, see what it's like, see if I can connect to the services that I've used to use in the past to develop my three-dimensional virtual items. And I check those out, and they all worked. And my son calls me on the phone and says somebody's come out there, they just called the police on him.
And your son was what were you doing out there, Griffin? You were watching the bikes, or?
Yeah, I was pretty much watching the bikes, make sure nothing was stolen, pass the time by listening to music.
Where was this? Is this on the street, on the sidewalk, in the back of a building?
It was in the back of the building. We had permissions from the Cruzio Works people to go back there, store our bikes back there, that sort of stuff.
How big is the area back there?
About 25 square feet, 8 for the bike.
A lot of bikes back there?
Well, the racks were full, but we're the only ones with panniers.
And panniers are, of course, saddlebags for bikes.
Yeah.
And so, you say a woman came up, and what happened there?
Two women, and they said...
Two women?
Yeah, one an elderly lady and a younger female. All right behind her. The elderly lady approached me and said, "Ed, you have to leave. You're trespassing on private property." She was from the other side of the building where Cruzio Works was, And she told me that apparently someone had called the police on me already. The police never arrived.
This is because you were playing music at high volume, possibly?
Nah.
Dancing around naked, perhaps?
Nope.
Were you attempting to dismantle other people's bikes and steal them?
No.
You were selling needles at a discount, weren't you?
No.
No? So did she say what it was you were doing that alarmed her?
I was sitting.
Sitting? Well, sitting in Santa Cruz is mostly illegal on the sidewalks, you know. I mean, you've got to be 14 feet from a building, 14 feet from a crosswalk, 14 feet from a kiosk, and so forth. So, did you have your book of instructions with you? Were you sure you were sitting? Of course, you were on private property, so probably didn't apply to you. Mm. So she didn't tell you exactly what your problem was, her problem was?
Not really.
I see. And then what happened?
I called him because...
Your dad?
Yeah, because one, I don't really have very good social skills. I haven't trained for this type of situation. And I can't move two bikes at once because with the panniers on, they're really heavy.
Because you were being told to leave and you felt that maybe you would have to go because of the threat for the police? Is that a concern?
That and the fact that I know he knows how to deal with this a lot better than I do. Yeah, unfortunately.
So then, Dan, you approached the situation?
Yes, I came back there, asked what was going on, and the woman was a little taken aback.
Were there two women or one woman?
Well, at this point, only the elderly woman was talking, so I ignored the other woman. She kind of just stood there.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a non-participant.
Did either of these people identify this, say who they were?
They did not.
Or what group they were from?
No, all they could do was admonish us and tell us why we shouldn't be there and couldn't be there and what kind of horrible things would happen if we were there.
Tell me about the dialogue as it developed, if
you
can.
Well, first of all, we weren't allowed to be there. Then I explained we were customers of Cruzio Works and we actually had a right to be there because that was part of the package we'd bought and that allows us to have our bikes in the bike area on the back of the building. She didn't stop saying that. Then she said, well, our concern is that these bikes with these panniers and camping gear all over them will attract junkies who would probably murder people and things like that. And I'm like, well, most likely attract them to steal.
Did they use the phrase
stuff.
Murder people, or are you just exaggerating?
I'm exaggerating.
Now, don't exaggerate. Try to be, I know, and I appreciate the humor, but I want to get as close as we can to what the actual dialogue
actually
was.
Actually, she said they would attract junkies who would shoot up and then accost people.
Okay.
And I said, well, actually, they'd more likely attract thieves who would steal my panniers off the bikes. I was in no way, shape, or form going to be leaving them that way. And I assured her that, you know, I'd be retarded. Well, not retarded, but idiotic to leave our stuff that way.
Because you were planning to take your bikes to some storage lockers or something?
We were going to get storage lockers, which we did. And store our bikes and put our bags in a different place because you're not allowed to have your bags in the storage locker.
Those are the city storage lockers.
City storage
lockers. To prohibit the homeless from abusing the storage lockers for bikes.
Of course, yes. Yeah, yes. Or, you know, maybe putting their gear in there and storing them, like, you know, so they're not having to carry them around.
Now, you've been out to the Homeless Lack of Services Center. Do they have storage lockers there?
They do not.
I see. I want to hear more about the Homeless Lack of Services Center, but first let's continue with your encounter with this woman at the bike area.
We took our bikes and we went out and we bought the park cards that you need to have in order to use the bike storage lockers. And then we put our bikes away in the storage lockers, paying the 5 cents an hour, which is actually one of the best things that Santa Cruz City has done for people, and I think more people should take advantage of that. Then we,
if you have a bike,
if you have a bike, right. You don't want to store your elderly parents or grandparents in them.
Or perhaps your sleeping bag so it doesn't get stolen. That would be inappropriate,
well, I'm
too.
I'm afraid that's against the rules.
Yeah,
if you do
the rules.
That, they will actually confiscate you those items and throw them away, and that's in their rules. I think there's some kind of thing in the Constitution about privacy and things like
that. Well, also, I think there's state law, at least for police, if they find abandoned property, they have to retain it for 60 or 90 days, and that, of course, has not been rigorous curiously followed. In fact, it was deliberately not followed by police for many years in Santa Cruz, and they claim now they're following
But they would have to know that they were there, and because you can't see in there, they would have to then open these things, and you've already paid a rental on them. And under what I last understood is that once you've paid a rental on a locker, that has become a private space.
Yes, but you could be storing nuclear weapons, terrorist items, napalm. I mean, there are all kinds of things you homeless people could be doing. After all, it is a war, is it not? And you are trying to fight back. Therefore, you probably are arming yourselves.
Well, you know, a can of deodorant could be a deadly thing.
Indeed.
Except I heard that.
I could forgive my outbursts, so they're irrelevant. Yeah. So you went, you say.
Okay, we got all that taken care of.
Before you did, though, you had I want to finish this conversation you had with these two women, or the woman that was speaking. Was there anything more she said that was of note that you noted?
No, that somebody else, some person had called, that's all I know. And that she was not part of Cruzio, and that they'd worked in a different part of the building. And
so these were people from Cruzio came down and talked to you and Griffin at the bike area.
No, they were not from Cruzio.
They were not from Cruzio.
Yeah, no, they were from a different part of the building, but not from
Cruzio. And they had been called by someone else, themselves, because that's...
Apparently, somebody else had called the police. I don't know, I can't guess what brought those two out and not the person who called the police. I always suspect when somebody says that somebody else had called the police because and didn't want to come out and speak to us, yet they somehow magically knew that this person had called the police.
You think they were just covering themselves so they wouldn't be accused of snitching on you.
Yeah.
So anyway, you went and got your bike stored at another place in the city locker, and then what happened?
We went back to Cruzio work and basically thought it a non-issue. The police never showed up. There was never a problem. We did what they asked. We got the stuff out of there, so we wouldn't attract crowds of junkies and strange
photographers.
Yeah, and all kinds of
crazed Take Back Santa Cruz types.
Yes. And we started working on our projects. He started working on his math. I started working on my 3D. I actually made a logo for my so-called business. It's not really a business yet until you get a business license, but, you know, my business, which, by the way, is called No Thanks.
Oh, dear. Well, so you were working on this, and then what happened?
Well, we were doing this for about an hour, and the woman who had signed us up comes and says, I need to talk to you. And I say, oh, good, we'll get our key cards. That's how you get in and out. You get in and out with a key card.
24/7 service.
Yeah, 24/7, and we were never intending to sleep there or to become sticky fingers or anything like that.
Did you initially tell them you were homeless?
Oh yeah, they knew we were homeless.
And they didn't say you can't have a 24/7 service.
They actually praised the idea that we're going to come in here, we're going to try to do something for ourselves, mm-hmm. try to make some money, try to situate ourselves so we're no longer homeless.
Now, were these the people who initially took this information, the same woman that you were now talking to?
Yes, it's the same woman I know.
And we don't know her name because she wouldn't identify herself?
She wouldn't identify herself. And I didn't really think about it. My head was in a different space, and I was kind of excited. I thought this was a real good direction for us. And she came in. She said, I need to talk to you. We went into the conference room, and she then said, I'm sorry, but we cannot allow you to be here. And I'm like, was shattered. I was like, why? And she says, because somebody emailed me and said that there was an incident, and there are people who feel unsafe with you being here. And I'm like, well, we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't present ourselves. We were respectable. We listened to what their needs were. We accommodated them. We compromised with them. We showed every bit of respect.
Did you raise your voices?
Not any.
No. No. I see.
And I said, this is wrong.
Did they raise their voices?
No.
Okay. So it was relatively quiet and calm.
It was very calm.
This previous incident that she was referring to.
Yes. And I said, this is wrong. We paid for a service, and I believe there's a contract involved in
this. How much money is actually involved in all this?
About $314.
Okay. Go ahead.
And
She says, I'm sorry, but we can refuse service. I'm going, but you didn't refuse service. You took my money, and you agreed to the terms, and I agreed to the terms, and we all got a contract going, and you're just blowing it off like it's okay.
So it seems to be not only...
There's nothing I can do about it. And she says, I will see. If you come back later, we can see if we can work out something else. And I wasn't sure what she meant by that. So we left. We didn't make a drama. We didn't make a scene. We didn't scream and cry out or anything. We left quietly. And the next morning, I went back and said, I still believe that this is wrong. This is their laws.
This is Wednesday morning. Yesterday.
Yesterday morning.
We looked up the policy.
Yep, put closer in.
We looked up the policy on their contract and found that they had to give us a 30-day notice before they could change anything on the contract.
Now, that was something written on their policy or on the state law?
On their contract.
I see. So they seem to be, if you're accurate, violating their own written policy.
They were violating their own policy. They were also in violation of contract law in California, in that if they cannot fulfill the contract, they have to provide a reasonable alternative if the person wants that. However, they're quite capable of accommodating the contract. There is no reason they couldn't do that. And so saying that they don't want to is not a reasonable reasonable means.
Yeah, but this might disturb the horses nearby, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just because they want to stop the contract is not a reasonable reason.
So, did you speak to the same woman?
Wednesday morning, yes.
And did you ask for her name?
I asked her the name of her. I asked the name of any superior she might have, the owners.
Mm-hmm. And what did she say?
She says, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you that information.
Is that a sort of top secret? Do you want NSA clearance of some kind?
Apparently, if I'd known their names, I might actually ask them what's going on, and that they didn't want to, of course, explain.
Well, it's best to kind of, you know, keep this in a low profile. We don't want the accusations of bigotry being preferred against Cruzio, a well-known liberal group. I mean, come on.
And if they can get away with breaking contract just because they feel like it, then the whole state can start having businesses go, hey, this place can break contracts because they felt like it. We can do that, too. That's perfectly okay.
It wouldn't
now
be so good if somebody got a lawyer and took them to court, or if you took them to court. But anyway, so what was your response to all this?
I asked what exactly I'd done wrong. Is there any of your own rules and regulations that I had broken? Was there any issues that had happened that they have a record of that they could show me? Can they write something else out? No. They had no reason. Their only reason was they had to make everybody feel comfortable in the building.
Not everybody. Well, everybody but you.
Everybody
me. You too, actually.
Yeah.
And the rest of us who don't like to hear what's going on over there. I don't think I feel too comfortable hearing about this. Yeah. It's taking me away from my other strident activities to have to be strident over here. But she did offer you, did she not? Or was it?
Oh, yes, I was offered a 9-to-5 package, which is quite cheap, actually. But I don't want that package because I'm not always able to come to 9-to-5s because of other things I need to do with my life. And a lot of times when I am working on projects, I work on it for 14, 15 hours straight. I don't like to break up the creative juices, so to speak.
Griffin had something you wanted to say.
They said that they gave us a refund. We have yet to see the money from that.
Yeah, they apparently gave us a refund, but we've never seen
it. You told me, I think, yesterday or earlier, I think it was yesterday, that you checked your bank account and it hadn't been refunded.
I've checked the bank 3 times today, and there's no money in it from them.
And this was done through a credit card? Or
it was done through a debit card, yes.
A debit card.
Yes.
Interesting. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to leave it there for the moment. If anybody has any thoughts, if you've had an experience with Cruzio Works, which, as I understand, is... I'm not sure how different it is from the Cruzio, the net service, but I think they're both, there's some distinction between the two. And indeed, a lot of people use Cruzio, like Cruzio. So if we're going to start calling for a boycott of Cruzio Works because they like to discriminate against homeless people based upon apprehensions of a neighbor who thinks that the very appearance of homeless-looking folks is cause for denying them service and running them out of the area at night, then that needs, I think, to be challenged in the most direct way. And so you're going to hear that we are planning to return tomorrow to the Cruzio building at 1 o'clock and, you know, maybe set up a table. I think we're setting up a table, have a few signs, maybe a petition or two, try to sound people out on their opinion of this. Is this a fair thing for Cruzio to do? Do all the Cruzio employees coming back and forth agree? I think Warren has a thought on this. Warren, Billy, up to the mic there.
My only experience with Cruzio is I make $1,000 a month, and I get internet service. I got it from Sasquatch for $15. Cruzio wanted $65. In my opinion, they're overpriced.
Huh, interesting. So, can't keep up with all this. I guess what I'm going to do now is start playing some of the previous tape I have from today and yesterday, or actually it's probably yesterday and the day before, on this and a few other things. And this will eventually roll into the march and or to the walk we did down to the Cruzio headquarters to sort of, you know, inquire what was going on and to tell them our concerns. And so let's hear some of that. If anybody else, as I said, have had any experiences, and like Warren has, any information at all, I would like to $60 compared with $15, you say?
$65 compared to $15 at Sasquatch.
Right. So it could be we'll have to make a deal with Sasquatch, get paid to shift people over from Cruzio to Sasquatch. But in fact, we don't know. It's not clear whether the Cruzio.com people are the same as the Cruzio Works people. They may be a separate organization.
Actually, on their website, you can only get to the Cruzio Works section through Cruzio.com.
Well, that's a good point. Then maybe they are, you know, at the battle.
I believe that they're a subsidiary or a subsection.
So my suggestion to people working at or using the services of Cruzio.com is get in touch and find out just what's going on here. I mean, but anyway, let's play some more. You can get some more indication by actually, you've heard, you know, Dan's account of what happened. He's a party, so he has his own perspective. You might say he's a biased because it's impacting him. I wanted to find out what the other side had to say. I called them up to actually find out the names of some of the people because I wanted to. I found it. I always find it uncomfortable and suspicious when people will not say who they are. And that bothers me, whether it's government bureaucrats or corporate bureaucrats or liberal namby-pamby wannabe pseudo-progressive bureaucrats or, you know, or workers in an office. I need to know who I'm dealing with. And I think it's fair that they say who they are. They're dealing with the public, you know, unless there's some reason to think that I'm about to attack them or something to that effect. Of course, we are attacking an abuse here. And so that seems that's probably one of the reasons that they didn't want to say who they were, if your account is accurate, Dan. So I called in and I got a couple of names of people involved, although I didn't really refer to your incident because I felt that would clam people up. And what I did do is I simply asked who was on the office downstairs on Tuesday, the day before when I called up. And what I found, I can find the proper entry. Let's see if it's here. I talked to a woman named Adia, and she gave me the rates and so forth. And she told me that they have no problem with homeless people using spaces. And she also confided that don't worry about the homeless; they can't get in. So that, I can understand people might have a concern about being panhandled late at night and so forth, which is illegal, by the way. No panhandling after dark. Because if they're loitering or camping, they'll be kicked out. So apparently, you were properly addressed as a loiterer and camper. After, of course, they got your money as a, you know, a sort of a fine or a fee for having the effrontery to actually suggest that you have a right to go to Cruzio. But just who the hell do you think you are, Mr. Dan, and whoever you are, Griffin? What kind of a name is that, for God's sake? Anyway, so
I am the king of Sugarland.
You see what I mean? Now, that's the kind of comment that makes me think there must be something more to this. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Anyway, the supervisor at that time was a woman named Janae, J-A-H-N-A-I. And her supervisor, the works manager, is James Hackett. So if anybody has any personal relations with these folks, and we haven't yet, you haven't yet addressed a letter to them, so, I mean, we have to be, and I think tomorrow would be a good time to walk in and present them with a letter that says, please reinstate me, apologize, declare a non-discriminatory policy toward the homeless, and, you know, bow your heads in shame here as to what you've done. And, you know, then, you know, we'll consider, you know, going home.
I'm actually actively searching for legal help on this.
Right. Well, I'm all for the law, but in law the wheels turn very, very slowly. And as Warren has pointed out, it's a really not just cumbersome process, but it's a rigged game also a lot of the time, and an expensive game. So I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I mean, people, if you think
I think in doing it, I'd be protecting businesses and private parties everywhere, because if these people can get away with it to just invalidate contracts on their own, a feeling of unsafety or something, whatever they're feeling, then any company can do this, and everybody's in trouble.
Well, it won't be regarded as a precedent. It only will stand, obviously. I don't think anybody would notice it. It doesn't bear scrutiny if your account is accurate on this situation, and I tended to feel you are probably quite accurate in your account based upon the kinds of responses that I heard the employees given when we went there yesterday. Anyway, let's hear some... There's going to be some other issues raised in this audio, but we have some experts in the studio who can give us their thoughts. We in the studio with us is Warren West, Dan Madison, and Griffin Madison, if I may be so bold as to abbreviate your name. Dan?
Well, you're right. There is no precedence for companies just to do this now, but I don't think any court, if this was actually got to court, would actually side with...
You've never been to a Santa Cruz court.
Maybe I have to go outside the area.
Yeah, maybe you do. But that's why the streets can sometimes be a better recourse than the courts, where you are raising issue there.
I just don't see a judge saying it's okay to break contract.
Warren will take you into the courts and introduce you to these judges.
That's a criminal court and civil. This is a business court thing.
Homeless people in civil court. That's a good point. I don't have a lot of experience with civil court, but these judges are not different judges. They do both criminal and civil cases.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I mean, if anybody has any information, you can call in 427-3772. Warren, you're looking restless. What do you got?
I went to a panel of judges on the assault, and there was nine judges. I went one after the other and the other, and it went back to Judge Kelly, and none of them refused to dismiss the charges. So
again, that's a criminal case, but still.
Yeah, criminal misdemeanor, but... still, black and white, I had picture proof that I didn't injure this guy, and yet they still continue with the wanting to prosecute me until 23 months, and then it was dismissed.
This is the sitting on the wrong bench near Noah's case?
No, it was the... I was attacked by the bouncer on the sidewalk at the Dakota Club, and then 23 months later, they sold the club. So I did make some headway there because I think...
Oh, now you hold yourself the agent of prompting the sale of the Dakota Club? Isn't that a little grandiose, Warren?
Well, I don't know. The bouncer was violent toward me for no reason, and maybe not. I don't discredit it, but I think it's a better business now that they're gone, because I don't like being...
And you didn't have to go to jail for this one.
Well, yeah, I was arrested and went to jail three times for that.
Right, but you were let out. You weren't convicted, or were you?
No, I was not convicted.
You were acquitted, or was this mistrials?
Dismissed in the interest of justice. Judge Kelly's last day.
After 22 months. Right. Okay, so... let's hear some tape, and let's hear your calls if you're interested. You're tuned to the stream of free radio. If you're listening on August 8th, this is still live, so call in. If you want to come to the demonstration tomorrow at 1 o'clock, it's going to be happening at Church and Cedar Streets in front of the Cruzio Works offices. We're going to be attempting to... end bigotry as I see it there, and to get some straighter answers, and then to get some justice, hopefully, if not from the Cruzio, then from the Santa Cruz community, which may express its opinion towards Cruzio Works. Let's hear some tape, however, and who knows, maybe from you, 427-3772.
Hello? We have prior Huff email. We have Huff meeting notes from 7/30/31.
Actually, that's not quite what I wanted to play, but don't go away. We're going to take a brief musical break here, and I'll be back. As often happens, we need a little time to process.
She's dancing, oh, by herself as a jukebox in the corner is playing.
So we're at the home of this United Friendship and Freedom meeting, and we have Sean here who is describing his experiences at the Homeless Lack of Services Center this weekend. Today is August 7th, and go Sean.
And Sean, of course, is you, Dan. You were talking about this yesterday at the homeless meeting, the Huff meeting.
Last week, I was able to stay a few nights in one of Santa Cruz's shelters. I was glad I was able to get a place because it meant I could get a shower, a decent night's sleep, and I'm grateful that there are shelters for some. However, I don't like to be treated as if I'm 9 years old. And that's it. That it's my damn fault without a house, or that my things are nothing more than trash. I needed to throw away my items, and I felt that were more important enough to me to take along with me on the street. Apparently, the idealist who made the rules of the shelter I was at must believe that anyone needing the shelter must have the mentality of a 9-year-old child because of such rules as 10 p.m. bedtime with lights out. I bet those who made the rules wouldn't want to have someone forcing their bedtime values on them. I understand that they were coming from with this many drug addicts and disabled who would cause trouble given the opportunity to stay up, but wouldn't they anyway if they were going to. Another rule was to be up at 6 a.m. in the morning. This, of course, is based on worth ethics of the wage slave. And early to bed, early to rise, but doesn't explain why a disabled person, especially one with sleeping problems like those with bipolar, need to actually lose sleep once fallen asleep, are forced up, making their illnesses much worse. I probably got less sleep there than I did on the streets. And there's this really insidious rule that once a week, everyone has to put all their things in a trash bag, as if it was a statement of their personal worth. And if they had things that didn't fit, they had to throw it away. Now, I ask you, how many people who have homes would or even could do this? I understand this excuse for some demeaning rule that there is only a limited space, except that there's really massive amounts of space all over the place. But, you know, someone needs to get paid for it, right? Anyway, if you can't fit all your items into this black garbage bag, you have to throw it into the garbage. Things like family photos or mementos, trash them. Got a guitar or other musical instrument? Toss it. Or leave. Your sleeping bag and a couple of sets of clothes fill the bag. Then you have to throw away all your other clothes and items. Too bad, maybe you should have thought of that when you were thrown out of your home because the landlord wanted more than you could pay. All homeless are guilty of choosing to be homeless. That's right. Drugs and alcohol, and yes, mental illness is the result of drugs and alcohol. That doesn't explain my bipolar disorder. I don't even smoke cigarettes. Must be wrong thinking. Anyway, the shelter isn't much of a solution. It's more of a place where drug addicts and alcoholics can go and pretend to clean up for a little while and get services. Take back their... take a break from their addictions and try to milk the system for all it's got. They are sure to housing where they can safely go back to their addictions of choice. Personally, I am sick of being lumped in the same level of people when my only crime is being born with an amazingly fast thought process, charisma, and abilities that are unfortunately seen as an illness that scares most of them normals.
And that's signed,
Sean.
Thank you, Sean. That was a letter that, Sean, you wrote. You actually were told that you would have to throw away your guitar.
Anything that did not fit in the medium-sized black garbage bag, you know, the kind you use to put in your kitchen, waste trash, anything that did not fit in there had to be thrown away.
Now, did you actually see anybody's stuff getting thrown away?
No, they said that once that you've put all this stuff and put it on your bed, anything left out, they would then take and throw away while you're gone, while the place is
gone. Or possibly sell for the greater good of all.
I don't know about that.
And Warren, you said you've had some problems out there as well?
Several years ago, I went there and seeking help. And the first time my bicycle was stolen. The second time I waited in line like 10 hours to get on a bus to go to a someplace up in the mountains, and I was the last person online, and it was getting dark and cold and wet, and they told me they didn't have room for me, and so there I was, you know, out with, you know, so I went and scavenged a place on the street to sleep on, but I wouldn't have wasted 10 hours standing in line had I known that, you know, so it's just mismanagement. And it's a haven for drug addicts.
By 10 hours, you mean an hour or two, right?
No. I was there. I had to be there from like, I was there earlier in the morning, and they told me I had to be in line from like 4 in the afternoon till 8 at night, I think it was. And if I that, you know, and I'm an old guy. It's hard for me to stand up for 4 hours in line or sit down in line, and I don't like sitting on cold sidewalks. And I don't have, you know, I didn't have a portable chair. So, you know, the whole idea is just to do, was very humiliating. And I haven't, when I first got to town, they told me I could wash dishes there. They would pay me $9 an hour. My check came and it was only $4. So they said, we'll make that right on the next check. So I worked another week and it was still only $4 and not $9 an hour. So I said, what's wrong with this? They said, you'll have to check the Social Security office under our agreement. On page 7 in small print, it says that we only pay $9 an hour during the month of February. Well, I think they should have told me that before they made a contract for me to work as their dishwasher, because my bills went unpaid, I lost storages, and had I known that, I would have searched out work somewhere else. They're a bunch of scams and cheats, and I wish they would go out of business. They only attract the bad part of homelessness, which is the junkies that can't feed themselves. And if they'd spend their money on food instead of heroin, they wouldn't need the services at all.
Now, are you being paid by Take Back Santa Cruz to make that statement?
No, I think you'll find that if you go walk in the railroad tracks around the shelter, you're liable to step on a syringe. It's an epidemic out there, and they admit it. They shoot up in public. It's just a horrible place.
Have you actually ever seen a syringe on the railroad tracks?
Yeah, I had to go to my attorneys up there, and they're all over. They're every 2 or 3 feet.
I haven't spent a lot of time on the railroad tracks, but in my 25 years there, I found one syringe, and that was recently, and that was now near Ocean Street. But, you know, I know that's a big claim of Take Back Santa Cruz.
Well, they sit in the tunnel and fire. You can find people firing dope in the tunnels there almost any time of day or night.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, to me, that's not a cause for lynching everybody in the world, but some people think that is a huge, you know, abuse.
What I can understand is how they lump in people who have disabilities such as mental illness with people who are destroying their bodies and using doing criminal acts as they're as if they are exactly the same kind of
well,
people.
Well, first of all, I don't regard use of any kind of drugs as a criminal act. If you're talking about people who are engaging in robbing, those are people who should be charged. But I doubt, although, you know, I imagine there are cases of people who are used the Homeless Lack of Services Center whom the staff knows are guilty of some actual criminal act rather than something involving drugs, which, as far as I'm concerned, is not a criminal act.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry,
when you steal to buy the drugs, it is.
Yes, but you have no evidence that those who necessarily have the drugs stole to get it.
They stole my bicycle.
Somebody stole your bicycle, but you don't know who it was, Warren. And so in other words, what I'm saying, it could well be true. But this is the kind of, you know, leaps of faith that leads to sort of lynch mobs around these issues instead of dealing with. I mean, I hope we all agree that drugs is a medical problem and it's not a problem you deal with by turning people into using alcohol prohibition type, you know, shoot them up and jail them and lock them away forever, which is what the current scene is in America. That's what they're doing with people, you know.
I see people in houses by shopping carts full of booze. So I think, you know, that's a big problem. Homeless or
should they
or
be arrested for buying booze? Should they be arrested for shooting up?
No, but I don't want to rent from them because, you know, they're criminal.
They're drunks.
Well, that's different. Being a drunk is one thing. Being a criminal is another. And, you know, let's leave that particular.
Yeah, I hope I didn't offend anybody who is using.
You offended me, and that's what counts.
Okay.
Get out. Actually, I'm just kidding.
Well, anyway, I mean offend anyone who is having a drug problem, especially if they're trying to get away from.
All right, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
I understand that there is a problem, and I don't wish drug addiction and alcohol addiction on anyone, and I do sincerely hope that they can find help.
Well, I think the reason that to answer your question that these folks are lumped together is because you got a bunch of cheapskates who don't mind giving huge tax breaks to the rich and financing massive foreign wars, throwing a pittance at poor people in real problems, health situations, disabilities, and so forth. But, you know, I don't see this as the basis for attacking even the group that I feel sucks, the Homeless Lack of Services Center, as I call it. I mean, I don't mind attacking them, but I don't want to join forces with the side that suggests because drug use is happening, that's the basis for shutting out down food services for people. Including drug addicts. Sorry, that's my belief. Griffin, you have a thought?
On the mention of foreign wars brought up a weird little social experiment and I went through in my high school years where the classroom was divided into two metaphorical countries, these that just got over a revolution or whatever, and were negotiating a fair treaty. Or at least what America considers to be a fair treaty.
It's a little off topic here, don't you think? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little off.
Maybe it is. I mean, what's your point, though? What are you trying to summarize it?
Well, the point actually happens to be this weird mentality I picked up that didn't make any logical sense, but does make a lot of sense, and if you're looking for an unfair resolution between two countries, that is almost guaranteed to break down in the long term, but give one country more benefits than the other country.
You mean each side defending its own, regardless of the justice of the case, or?
What?
Yeah, never mind.
I'm not a politician, but this is I'm just remembering that my dad mentioned.
We'll leave it until you two work that one out. Let's hear a little bit more from this tape. You're tuned to the stream of Free Radio or the archive of Free Radio. It's the stream and it's live. If you're listening on August 8th, Thursday evening, call in if you want, 427-3772.
And there's a letter you wrote based on your experiences of 3 or 4 days ago?
Yes, at the lack of service homeless shelter.
And how long were you there for?
5 days.
So did you pack all your stuff in a bag and throw it away?
Oh, no, I did not.
Or throw away the excess?
No, I did not. I talked my way around it, but it was took 3 hours.
Disobeyed the rules.
I said, I'm only here for 3 days, 5 at the most, and this rule should only be applied to those who being here a month, but it shouldn't be applied at all.
Hear, hear. Thank you. So it is...
It's about 4:35 down on Pacific Avenue at walking down toward Cruzio.com. The office is across from the library. A number of gum-chewing thugs in uniforms on the street here. Security guards, in other words. The weather is beautiful, and with me is Griffin, Sean, Fried, London, heading into the Cruzio Kitties Den. So Sean, or Dan, actually, as he's known on the contract he made with Cruzio, was first he purchased a contract for 24-hour service there, and that was yesterday. When someone complained that he was, I don't know, homeless looking, his son was there with some bikes in the appropriate area, according to him, his membership was revoked. He was told there was no appeal process, or they wouldn't tell him who to appeal to, wouldn't say who they were. And this happened on two occasions. This would be his third visit in 2 days.
So we're about to go in.
The cameras are turned out, recording.
Here we go. Oh, watch the door there. Who's here? What? And some of this is a little hard to hear, but this is the recording of our visit to the Cruzio headquarters. Cruzio Works headquarters, and also probably the Cruzio headquarters. What's happening here is that Dan is requesting service because he's already paid his bill. The money hasn't been returned. He's come in to request service, and he's talking to people at the counter. And I guess these are people you have never talked to before, right? These are newcomers.
No, I've talked to them.
So they knew who you were.
I believe they did.
This wasn't the woman.
To do with any of this.
They're just the front folks.
Yeah, they're doing the job, you know.
And it's kind of hard to hear them, but it will become more intelligible as we proceed.
After we paid for the service, 24/7, 24/7, for me and my son, and said, sorry, we can't give you the service because apparently somebody in the other side of the building who isn't part of this service didn't like that we had a valve pass on our bikes, and we were waiting to finish such. We were waiting to plan the parking. But that was enough for them to call here and say it was unacceptable, so they terminated our service.
Hey.
Let's mention that they breached their own contract terms.
Yeah, we had told them we were homeless. So it was like they weren't hiding anything. We wanted to start working on stuff so we can make money.
I guess this is like a testimonial.
Yeah.
To witnesses.
Indeed.
And
obviously we're not the ones making
we're not approaching anything, anybody out of aggression or anything. We're just we were verbally told that my account was canceled. I actually looked under the laws of California. The once they took our money, it's a contract. And even under this company's own contract,
they have to give us
30 days before they can change all the contract we have.
They gave us 4 hours.
They gave us 4 hours. And we just want our service, or we want a document with reasons why our service was unjustly terminated.
And money back. Back accordingly to the lack of service we get.
We want a service that we paid for. Or we want a letter showing why we were terminated unjustly after we had paid for the service and that you took the money.
We refunded it.
No, it's not refunded at all. We have not.
Yeah.
At this point, I believe
a tall man and a short woman came out and began to talk to you. And you said these are two you hadn't seen before.
No, I haven't met either one of them. I assumed they were probably somewhere in the management position.
They essentially were defending their position, and they'll speak for themselves. You can hear what they're saying, and we'll play some more of this now. Again, I apologize. The woman was very soft-spoken, kind of hard to hear, and we'll see what we'll hear, if we can, what we can hear.
It always takes a couple of days, but we did
refund it. But see, that under California law.
It's a breach of contract.
It's a breach of contract.
And you guys breached the contract.
You're supposed to give a 30-day notice before you can change anything.
Under your own contract. Under your own rules, you have to give 30 days.
You gave us 4 hours.
Gave us 4 hours.
They'd offer you another service. There was.
I don't want another service. I want the service I paid for. And you can't just offer someone another service. You have to have a reason for it.
We do have
their
right to refuse service.
No, that's restaurants.
Okay. So, before you get your money.
But you can do that before you take the money. You took the money.
And then you changed.
And then you refused.
Against your own contract.
Yes.
So we did offer you another service.
We don't want another service.
It is hard for us to
offer. Of course, the other service they were offering was this daytime service you said you really couldn't make much use of, right?
Yeah, because when I do creative efforts, I like to do it from the beginning until the end, and a lot of times that runs me 10, 15 hours. I'm very focused on that. In a 9-to-5 situation, that is much harder for me.
Also, it tends to suggest that you aren't trustworthy at night. And it also tends to suggest to me that they're coming to this decision not because of anything they know about you as a person, or who knows, maybe they've checked your criminal record. Do you have a record of arrests and break-ins at night?
No. Sorry to disappoint.
So, one has to consider every alternative. All we heard this woman say, and I was present for this conversation, in fact, I made the tape, was that we offered you another service. They said, you wouldn't accept our service. We'll give you the money back. And then she went into something to the effect of, other people were made uncomfortable by you, and there was an incident. And when I kept asking, what was the incident? I couldn't get a clear answer. And she just sort of shuffled her feet and said, oh, that's all. She just kept repeating herself. We offered you another service and so forth.
On a side note, the because of my disability.
What is your disability?
I am bipolar.
Which means what?
Manic depression. And actually, I'm a hypomanic, which is a very specific type of...
Spare me the medical bullshit and tell me what impact... What's your experience and what's other people's experience with you?
Well, every job I've ever had, I've been asked to leave with, usually within the first week or two. It's rare that it's two. But it's always the same reason. I'm sorry, you have to leave, but other people are... uncomfortable around you.
This is a damaging admission to make on the air. You know?
It is, but this is not a job. I was paying them. That's different.
Right, unless you were so making them so uncomfortable as to justify their breaking the contract. But I don't know what it was. You don't seem to be, I don't... I've had at least 7 or 8, maybe 9, 10 or 10 encounters with you. And, you're a man who likes to express his opinion. And I sometimes have a little trouble breaking in because I need to be heard more than anybody, as you know.
Of course.
But I haven't noticed you.
I tend to trip up on my own words sometimes.
So I don't know how you make people uncomfortable. But anyway, let's hear some more of this.
Regardless if you offer us or not, you still breached your own contract.
Well, if you offered it, and we paid for it.
What is your name?
You haven't given us our money back. We don't. And you haven't given us.
What is your name, please?
Okay. Yes. What is your name?
Nikki.
And
now, what name did she give? Actually, you don't remember?
I don't.
You're searching for her. So this time, you actually did get her card.
I got her card.
But again, this wasn't the woman who refused you the card last time. This is someone else.
Yeah, this is someone else.
Okay. So let's hear some more.
She gave me my card the other day.
She gave me your card. I don't remember.
Here she says she gave you her card the other day, and you said you didn't remember. And then when I talked to you earlier today, you said that you you didn't meet this person before, and she'd never given you a card, correct?
The only card I got was Cruzio Internet. As you can see, there is no one's names on this.
That was the card she just gave you?
That was the card she gave me this time as well.
So she didn't give her name?
No.
Did she say her name?
She had to write it on the back.
Oh, she did give you her name. Okay. Her name is Nikki Lantot?
Lantot.
Lantot, a finance manager. And she had given you an email address and an extension. So that's a useful information, so you can file a specific complaint if you want in a letter of, you know, demanding service or requesting service or an explanation and a set of policies. So she's in the event that you did something unusual that you might not have been aware of that might have offended people and you want to address it, at least you can be told what it was so you can do that.
Even with my friends, I ask, if you have a problem with me, come to me and tell me exactly what it is. And I will look at my behavior and adjust it or tell you why you're wrong. But usually I am fairly amenable to adjusting my behavior because I'd like to get along with people.
Let's hear some more. This namby-pamby wants to get along with everybody. We'll see how well he does.
Do you have a cell phone that I can give you my name?
And what is your position?
I'm the finance manager.
You're the finance manager. Okay.
You're welcome.
Now, do you understand that California law has laws about contracts?
So you have to understand that we are building a community here.
Yeah.
She's saying in a very soft voice, you have to understand we are building a community here.
And we're part of the community.
Yeah. And we have invited you into the community.
Yes.
And there was an incident, and so then to maintain the safety of our community, we offered you another membership on trial for 30 days.
What she says here is he'd invited you into the community, and to maintain you, we had offered you another membership for 30 days. That, of course, is the daytime membership.
A trial, and she said a trial membership.
Again, not too clear what it was you had done. Not that's too clear. Completely unclear as to what you'd done, if anything, other than make some unnamed third party uncomfortable with. Did you assault this woman out back, Griffin? What's the truth? Come on now, spit it out.
I did not assault anyone. She simply walked up to me and informed me that I had to leave.
And did you start screaming at her, you dirty bitch, or some such thing?
Nope.
What did you say?
I said I'd have to contact my father and get his opinion on the situation. And she was rather adamant about me leaving immediately, so I explained to her further that even if I wanted to leave immediately, I still had the physical limitation of only being able to drag one bike load with 70 pounds of stuff on it at a time.
And we're, of course, referring to the not to the, what we're hearing in this particular tape, but the incident the day before that prompted them to deny you to 24-hour service.
Yep.
Let's hear some more.
What was the need for this?
There was.
No, there wasn't.
We've never gotten,
yes, we've never gotten any writings, we've never gotten any word. Yeah, you need to have an incident that we've breached or done.
We did, I mean, I
no,
wasn't here when Janae spoke.
She did not say anything, she just said we can't give you that service anymore.
That's all.
Yeah,
and the
term
is that you got the email.
9 to 5 membership.
Again, you took our money.
For the
24/7. 4 hours later, you took it back.
Yes.
The law says once you've taken that is a contract.
It has been refunded fully.
It doesn't matter whether you change it yourself or not. You've already made into that contract. You've already accepted that. So it's a breach of contract.
Just maintain the conversation with this child.
Yes, just what he says. You tendered your... You didn't... I don't know what the term means, tender. Because they're witnesses.
I understand. And ask what the reasons were specifically for the termination.
What is the reason specifically for the termination of that contract?
Of the specifically for the 24/7?
Yes.
Because we did offer you...
You're not giving me a reason, though.
No, I'm just saying that...
I know you offered me that. It doesn't mean I have to take it.
No, and you don't.
Yeah.
What's the reason for the termination?
Yeah, what's the reason for the termination?
It was not a termination. It was a downgrade of membership to 95. And
that's not how I see it.
Why was it downgraded?
It was downgraded because there was an incident that made some of the members nervous, and if it happens, we're just trying to...
What was the incident?
Yeah, but we have a contract with your neighbors, like you have a good day.
The cops were called.
Did the cops show up?
There was loitering that was happening.
Loitering. When I sign up as a member, do I have a right to park my bikes back there? Our bikes?
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay, that's what we did. Why was there police call on that?
You'll have to ask the gentleman that called the police.
Yeah.
We are in a community, and we felt you a membership to the community. You just had to make it 30 days from that, and once they...
We felt he called the police.
So what we're hearing now is... she doesn't know why the police were called. The fact that the police were called apparently is reason enough for her bosses or the people she's representing to terminate your 24-hour membership. But in order to sweeten the pill and show how kind and generous they are, they're offering you a daytime trial 30-day membership as a 9-to-5. Where they can sort of, see if you make the grade. And, you know, when, of course, there's no criteria at all as to what that would mean and what you're... I mean, it's completely... It's both demeaning, it's mystifying. To me, it's hocus-pocus for covering up, essentially succumbing to somebody else's prejudice. And that is something I think that homeless people are facing all over this community, and even in this room. I heard a lot of talk about needle users, drug addicts, enabling drug addicts. This kind of crap, I regard it as crap, whether it comes from people who are homeless or people who aren't. It is a mythology that spreads through people and becomes the basis for all kinds of bad decisions. So that's why I am particularly concerned about this particular Cruzio incident. This is not something that affects a lot of homeless people, because a lot of homeless people don't have $300 to come in and do this.
No.
You know, they're real people. Their real concerns are sleeping and not having their property stolen. But still, it's this mentality that pisses me off. And let's see if these people are pissed off. Hi there, you're on Free Radio with a pissed off host.
A pissed off host?
Yes.
Checking bathrobes here.
That's me, yes sir. I mean, yes ma'am.
Oh, bathrobes pissed off.
I get cranky. Have you been listening to the show there, caller?
Yeah, for a while. Can I throw a question in there?
Of course.
Malarkey about we're going to give you a different contract that doesn't meet your needs so that we're not saying we're terminating you to set you up to be guilty of this thing that we're not telling you what you did. Comment by this woman. Is there anything descriptive in the contract that he had originally about this community building dimension? I mean, what's in the contract about that?
Well, actually, the contract is on their website. You can go look it up. It's their, I guess it's a terms of service thing, or they call it some other thing. But there's all kinds of things about them having to give you 30 days in order to change any kind of service that they've given you already, that you're expected to uphold your payments and of course I have the contract on it, but it's quite long, and each there's a lot of different sections.
Do you remember there being anything regarding community at the moment?
There might be a vague thing on, like, where...
So why don't you look for the contract while I talk to this caller and try to deal with her. So, caller, yeah. have you had any problems yourself or heard of any problems with Cruzio Works before or any other businesses of this nature?
Not up close enough to count. Is there other businesses of this nature in downtown Santa Cruz?
Well, I guess businesses that supply some kind of 24-hour access. I guess Next Space might be such a business. I'm not familiar with what they do. That's Ryan.
I used to have a place myself that I rented a small office, but I got in trouble because when we became homeless, I had two sons to support at this time, and I rented this little office over near the hindquarter. Because it was walking distance from home, and I needed a place I could work. We were very overcrowded at home, and we became homeless. And so I put my son in there at night, the older one. He was a teenager at the time. And then he snuck in his friend, who was some other homeless person he'd met, who was a little obsessed with being a security guard or a cop. so that there were some things like weapons. This did not fall into the legal dilemma I had found myself breaching. But
well, it sounds like you were breaching the sleeping ban and the tenancy agreement about having somebody in an office space using it for a residential purpose. But
well,
you heard...
no, we weren't. He wasn't residing there, but he'd go in there at night and sleep on the bathroom floor when nobody was there.
I see.
But I guess you could call that residing in this town.
Well, it's not residing.
No, yeah. That's the lucky people.
I don't know. I mean, sleeping in an office building at night is illegal, according to the sleeping ban. That's part of the law. You cannot fall asleep after 11 o'clock in anything other than a house or a hotel.
I see.
And according
so
to my
if
industry,
I fell asleep working at my computer at that time, I was breaking the law and being a criminal, even indoors.
Theoretically, yeah.
I didn't realize it at the time.
Well, that's
but the management company, and they were a property manager, too, not just happened to have this office building, they were very approachable. In fact, the woman that had to throw me out felt bad about it because, you know, she met me when I wasn't homeless. And then she...
This is way back in the 70s, right?
70s? No, it wasn't that long ago.
Home office? I think that was in the 70s, Linda.
I didn't even see the home office. You made that up. It wasn't that long ago. It was after the earthquake.
Oh, really? Okay, then it was in the 90s. But, you know, anyway, but regarding the this particular... You know, any... I'm trying to cut short this story, unless you think there's more relevance to it. If you say
no,
there is, yeah.
I think that he'll probably do better not talking to them, because no matter what kind of PR they pull now, they already made a mistake, a big mistake.
So we'll be doing this protest tomorrow at 1 o'clock in front of their business. If you come on down, and join us. I know that your health is not always the best, so
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this?
I just want to say how grateful and proud I am that this person is willing to put his own life out on the line to try to get some air on this, get some light on this subject. Thank you.
No, oh, you're welcome. Any other reports?
I met your guest.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I'm thanking for him. He's trying to find this, looking through the contract to see if there's anything that would violate the community or requires a community provision of some kind.
I doubt if they even know how to make something concrete and measurable, but I'd be interested in, if you guys don't get to it on your show, I'll try to look it up. I'm not much of a web server.
Okay, we have a thought from Griffin.
You said that our lives were on the line. How does that work?
Your lives? I don't think so. What was the context? I see what you're saying. You're putting your personal self, your story, your name, your real life in the public dialogue. And I believe, after many years of trying everything but that, that it takes a lot of courage to do that. You don't know what kind of reactions you're going to get. You don't know what other people are going to be inspired by it either, so I just wanted to thank you. I'm not saying that somebody is going to menace you, but I wouldn't rule it out either, and you want to make sure you have friends who are supportive if you're going to do this.
Well, you're quite welcome, and thank you for clearing that up. I was just wondering... are they going to start seeing problems
Sorry.
Now? It's quite all right.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you, Linda. Is there anything more you want to say?
No, I hope I can get there tomorrow.
Well, I have not found anything on community in any of their terms. There are building rules. None of the building rules did I break.
Yeah.
Looks like another caller calling in. Linda, I'm gonna leave you.
Okay, I'll be listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Hi, you're on free radio. I'm sorry, now you're on free radio.
Hi, this is David Minton Silva signing on to say, you know, if there's any justice in the way history is recorded, you're a couple of guys that should go down in history as heroes. No, you really are. Keep up the good work, man. You need to expose all these little things. You know, so many of these liberals, politicians, seem to sloganize and cover up you know, what they've really done. And, you know, if they're not going to screw us on the camping van or the street, man, they'll screw us on a lodging law or a, you know, incidental temporary residential street occupancy ordinance act. You know, who knows what the fuck they're going to do next, but we shouldn't fall for any longer. Liberals are just about as conservative when it comes to this. You guys are heroes. Thank you for being there.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
And let's hear a little more. Anything you wanted to add before we go on to the next?
No, I did notice that Cruzio Internet is often referred to in these terms, as well as Cruzio Works, and it's that Cruzio Works can be referred to as Cruzio Internet. So they are definitely the same.
Uh-huh. Well, there you are. We may be offending the, or actually asking something of the Cruzio Net workers or people if they're using Cruzio to consider, even consider boycotting Cruzio until this issue is resolved to our, well, toward the community's satisfaction.
Because there were panniers on the bikes. No, it's not an incident. It is a fear supposition. It's well, suppose these people are junkies, let's call the police. That is not an incident.
The question is whether it's anti-homeless prejudice.
It's what it is. That's why we're...
not. Absolutely not. We've had other members that have had to be 9-to-5 members first before they came over.
Well, we were not 9-to-5 members first. We were 24.
You defined it.
Yes, because I paid for a service. What if you bought a car and then somebody says, well, we're going to not give you that car, but you can have this junker over here. What would you say to that?
I don't even think that's related at all.
I think so. It's called buying a service.
It would be different if there was a community built around that car.
I'm not saying it about a community. I'm talking about a contract.
For you, we have fully refunded your money. You're welcome to be a 9-to-5 member.
The real question is whether there's discrimination going against homeless people at the basis of some bigoted comment that doesn't involve any real kind of problem.
You're not aware of the situation.
Well, what is the situation? We're trying to become aware of it.
Yes, could you put it in writing, please?
Maybe you could, or just clarify it for us verbally. No, that'd be fine.
No, this is not any discrimination. This is
what was the specific incident that led to the police station?
Loitering?
But it wouldn't be loitering if he was watching the bike as he walked inside. Well, it's up to you, of course.
We can do. If you'd like something in writing, I gave you my card, I gave you my email address. You're welcome to send something in writing, and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, you
do. And if you'd like a 9-to-5 membership, I can help you. Otherwise, I can't.
So it sounds like you're refusing him his 24-hour membership. And if you are, we'll be in front of the store inquiring whether you're doing this to other customers as well. If you're not, that's fine. Well, we'll learn that. We'll see if there's discrimination happening here, because it looks like in this case you aren't willing to give a specific answer to what this incident was all about. The mere fact that the police were called apparently is reason to discriminate against one homeless person.
No, that is inaccurate.
And we'll hear more about this in a moment, because we do have a caller. Hi there, caller. You're on free radio.
Just a quick comment.
Yes.
I don't know if they're going to get any, pursuing a breach of contract is going to provide what they want. Because usually if they find that there was non-performance, they'll just get their money back.
Hmm, I see.
But there is possibly an option under something called the Unruh Civil Rights Act, which is part of the California Civil Code,
right,
which says that public accommodations can't discriminate on the basis of sex, color, ancestry, race, mental or physical disability. And
right,
if they were discriminating you based on perceptions of possible mental or physical disability, there's a possibility of pursuing it along those lines.
That's a helpful suggestion. Do you have any other reports from possible the van dwellers' perspective? Because I know you've done some work on that, caller.
No, that probably the whole discussion of of being illegal to eat in your car and the whole Palo Alto, Santa Cruz. I think we should keep that for, where there's more time to discuss.
There will be more time on Sunday, and I encourage you to call back.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. There's a bit of legal suggestion.
Interesting. So you think that their idea of being disturbing, looking and acting and speaking is maybe a discrimination against my bipolar?
Possibly. I mean, again, I think the real issue is to bring to the community what the facts are and let them hopefully put some pressure on this group to treat you and others fairly.
Yeah, I don't hate these people. I think they have...
But you hate the injustice, don't you?
I hate the injustice.
Me too.
I hate the ignorance. I hate the flat-out... reactionary solutions to fear and ignorance.
Let's hear the rest of this tape.
There is a safety concern for the community.
That would mean that...
Wait a minute, safety concern.
No, they've had incidents in the past.
But we're not part of that.
For the safety of our members, we downgrade the five until they...
Our members are not feeling very safe because of what you're doing.
You know, you're raising your voice initially and this is
bad. You're right. I'm raising my voice.
So, you know, I think if you want to send... I know, and I didn't... It was not meant to offend you. It was meant to just say...
It's just meant to discriminate against you.
No.
Well, you are. You're removing...
Okay, but that's great. You have made your decision. I'm sorry. But
you haven't told us, other than loitering, what the incident was.
You had a right to be here. You had a 24/7 membership.
Do you have any other information about that?
Do
you have any other information about that incident? Because that's really...
Did you show us the contract?
Was there a threat? Was there any kind of violence?
You did, but you would go to the 9-to-5 membership. If you're not interested in that...
Okay, so you're not giving... You're repeating the same line again and again.
Yes, you are.
But you don't have any information, do you, about what actually happened?
We added that.
See? That's enough. No information. It has to be viewed as discrimination.
It's okay, guys. One at a time.
No, I think we've done it. If you want to contact me, you have my number. You have my email.
I think I'm going to try to find legal help on this because I believe that my contract is terminated unjustly, that there is no reason, it's a breach contract, that there is no reason for you to terminate that contract other than supposition from an outside party at that. The police never showed up.
Lawyers.
The police never showed up. There was never even a written incident before.
If you want to have your lawyer contact me, get my card.
And my concern is that you are doing this so arbitrarily that it can happen to anybody. And HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with, I believe we haven't made a good decision yet, but based on what the information you've given us, there's not much else we can choose to do except believe... Sorry?
I've never given you permission to tell me.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's no expectation of privacy. Yeah, well, and you can do a lawsuit if you'd like, because as far as I'm concerned, what you're doing here is you're discriminating against someone. You don't want to be identified.
You have felt that way.
You've got to protect your job. We understand. You can't tell us what's going on.
Anyway, if there's anything more you want to say regarding why this happened, you haven't really told us, other than there was police were called, and there was loitering. Is there anything else you wish to add? I mean, that's all. I don't know. Is there anything additional? I'm not saying that we're going to get something. Wait a minute. Very specific. What was this?
No, you're welcome to contact me. You have my card.
Perfectly.
I apologize that it did not work out.
So you're missing an opportunity. You're missing an opportunity to avoid the discussion.
Andy has not received his money back.
You've been delinquent on that?
Happy to deal with that.
No, they apparently sent it back, but I've not seen it in several days.
They can actually make that okay. I'm sorry. You know, you cannot discriminate against homeless people based on housing status, like or losses.
Well, there's nothing.
Very clear. That's exactly what
it was.
If you have more information, tell us.
One person
freaked out. When he wasn't, suddenly he's downgraded.
A guy standing by his bikes? That's the reason. Is there anything else?
No.
Is a police report filed? Let's get the report and take a look at it. Then maybe you're justified. We'd like to know.
Obviously, it's homeless.
I want to be a 24-hour member.
There's going to be a letter that I'm campaigning about this. And there's a lot of people who are going to have to cancel their services. And it's going to be in the media.
If you want to talk to me, or I will talk to you.
The only thing that happened was somebody freaked out. They had nothing. They didn't even know what was going on. It is.
And as you can hear, it's It leads one back to the old good advice, one person at a time, or else you don't make, it doesn't make a good, either a good legal record or good radio. But you can hear generally that the real issue that I found with the problem here is, should a business discriminate on the basis of the apprehensions of other individuals in the community who want that business to discriminate, even if they have no palpable, specific, citable, or particular concern that would justify breaking the contract? So, and that issue to me is really very important, because bigotry can be hidden under many labels. And if they are going to respond to bigotry by dumping you guys, this seems to me to be a process that is that can be happening all over town. And, across the street at the library, we had new rules about no sleeping. We have security guards marching around. We have an individual being harassed for a political sign that he had, told he couldn't be in the library with the sign displayed, even though it was standing innocently next to him as he was working on the computer. I noticed a response from the head librarian today on that issue, Teresa Landers, who said that she sent me all the documents regarding signs in the library. There's no ban against signs in the library, just as there's no ban against anything you two did. But if it disturbs someone, then that apparently could be the basis. So if you get someone who's wearing clothing that disturbs someone, that then can be the basis for, you know, evicting someone from the library, or evicting them from a business, or evicting them from what? From a restaurant?